This is the Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. And it's time for another NFL training camp preview.
NFL training camp preview.
Yeah, baby. Making a great day today. Everybody's going to cook all day long.
The golf days and the fishing days are over.
Make your mind up right now what kind of day you're going to have.
On the Gold Standard.
Crank that music. Let's go.
Let's talk a little Texans football. And we welcome in Matt Weston, covers the Houston Texans for SB Nation. And Matt, a lot of eyes last night, of course, on Deshaun Watson, getting him back on a football field. Gets one series, completes his only pass of the night for 4 yards. Extremely limited action, but just your thoughts. I guess it was just good to see him back out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of last year, looking back on it, just feels like surreal and a mirage, like it never happened. It reminds me of this time I went to the Grand Canyon, and I saw a chameleon on the Grand Canyon like 4 years ago. And now looking back, no, I don't think it ever happened. And I kind of felt the same way about Deshaun Watson. It's like seeing him on the field, seeing him like throw one pass and complete it, it kind of cements the fact that, yes, Deshaun Watson played last year. Yes, he was very good. And, yes, he's healthy and we'll be able to watch him again this year. And that makes the whole thing up.
Brandon Weeden, the number two quarterback, yeah, he looked pretty sharp, albeit against some number twos, of course, himself, and even maybe some threes. But you look at his performance, how do you think the Texans feel about that number two spot, backing up a guy that was hurt for much of that last season? So number two spot in Houston, maybe more important than other places as well.
Yeah, I mean, if something happens to Watson, the offense is going to be bad. We've seen every single quarterback other than Watson be bad in Houston. But the only thing Brandon Weeden ever did, even whenever he played, was he threw that fade pass to the tight end like 2 years ago or so, whenever Brian Hoyer, I believe, was hurt. So, yeah, it was cute. It was cool. Brandon Weeden played well, but there wasn't much to get out of it. And if anything happened to Watson, this offense is going to be one much different, too. You're probably very bad like it's been the past 3 years.
Continuing our NFL training camp previews here on the Gold Standard, Matt Weston covers the Houston Texans for SB Nation. Multiple veterans did not play last night. Do we just kind of chalk that up to, hey, it's preseason game one, don't need Hopkins out there, don't need Will Fuller, certainly J.J. Watt coming back from his injuries as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think Fuller played a little bit, but he didn't catch a pass at all.
Okay.
But yeah, Hopkins and Clowney and Watt, they're all there, but not playing. And that's fine. As long as they're there, as long as they play the third preseason game, that's one that really matters as far as preseason goes. So, you know, it's been cool to see, like, you know, the Twitter feeds of them doing some things, them being healthy on the field even a little bit, even though they didn't play at all last night.
I think maybe the brightest spot, besides just seeing Deshaun Watson on that football field, was the rookie tight end in Jordan Akins, who with two touchdown catches, what was the feeling maybe around him heading into the game, and what did you think of him last night, and how big of potentially an emerging weapon, if he's able to actually be that kind of threat in the regular season, that this does for the Texans offense?
Yeah, watching Akins' film from college is kind of hard to discern if he's good or not, because he was 26 years old playing as a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds. So it was like, you know, a varsity high school player playing against a freshman football team in a lot of ways. And then both of his touchdowns were, the second one's better than the first one. The first one, he's against a Kansas City linebacker, and the Kansas City Chiefs have a terrible linebacker core. They had the worst run defense in football last year. If he blocked the first one, he could run forever. And he ran like a cool, like, little delayed out and got open. But the second touchdown was really impressive because he was against all-man coverage, against the safety. And whenever he made his break on that post route, he got separation pretty immediately. And he was so big that the cornerback looking able to kind of cross him to get in front of his route at all. So he had two catches. It's a very, very limited amount of play action. But the second catch was really good. And, you know, the Texans have a terrible tight end group. Brian Griffin's one of the worst tight ends in football. He can't block. all he can do is go on the flat and, you know, catch 4-yard passes. Anderson is like a big slot receiver, but he's not good enough in the red zone at all. And then with Akins, you know, you hopefully have somebody, even though he's older, who knows, you know, what he did in college actually matters. But, you know, any little bit of production and tying position is very important to see last night, and also going for the rest of preseason as well, too.
Talking Texans with Matt Weston. He covers the Houston Texans for SB Nation. And the offensive line for the Texans, I think, right, if there's an area where you're certainly maybe concerned about, and definitely with Deshaun Watson's injury from last year, what did you think about the O-line's performance and kind of where the team is at when it comes to that position group?
Yeah, I think the Texans offensive line is going to be a lot better this year than was last year, of course. So last year was the worst offensive line in football. And they added a lot of I wrote probably like 15,000 words this spring and summer on the new additions to the offensive line. And way too much. I know way too much about Zach Fulton. I know way too much about Danilo Calamete. But I love Julian Davenport. And I really liked him if they dressed him. But no, I thought he has the perfect kick slot. He has long arms. He looks like a natural left tackle. And then I watched him play last year. The biggest thing was he just wasn't strong enough, which happens, you know, when guys are, you know, 22 years old coming into the NFL. With the third, fourth round, like he was in the fourth round. And then I just pretty much just watched him the entire night last night. I didn't see the rest of the guys, but I just watched Davenport, and he looked a lot stronger. They tried to bull rush him, and he stumbled at the point of attack consistently because it's really harder to go around him. And I saw him, like, block a linebacker as well, too, which is cool. But, yeah, I love Davenport. The Texans offensive line is going to be a lot better. The biggest weakness is going to be Sean Charles Henderson. I know it's kind of hard to see, you know, sideline view in the game is live, but he really struggled against edge rushes, and the ball got out too quickly for it to matter. But Henderson's going to be the big weak spot in the Texas offensive line, and hopefully Martinez Rankin will get healthy enough to maybe, like, potentially start, you know, around week 4 or 5 or so, because I think Henderson's going to be bad. He was bad 2014 the last time he played, and he hasn't played before here, so I'm not really looking forward to watching him. But the rest of the offensive line, I think, is going to be okay, and I think Davenport, hopefully, you know, it's one game, but he looked like he got strong enough this offseason to be a potential starting left tackle for the Texans.
We focused mainly right now, of course, on that offense, but how about on the defensive side of the football and what they, at least the ones, were able to do in a couple series against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and then for much of that first half really shut them down. Your thoughts on what you saw from the defense and that linebacking core of the Texans?
I mean, it's their second-string defensive line group, so you have Carlos Watkins, you have Brandon Dunn, you have Christian Covington, and they all were able to get penetration really well. I kind of a good spot of hatred for Eric Fisher because the Chiefs fans love him. They extended him, but he hasn't been good. He's not very good at all whatsoever. And so watching Eric Fisher get beat was cool. The amount of penetration that second group of defensive linemen I got was really great to see, and mainly because you can never have enough defensive backs. You can never have enough pass rushers. And so, like, whenever you have your twos, you have beating ones, like, on the offensive line. You know, that's an awesome thing to see. And also, Duke Ejiofor, you had a great game. His spin's awesome. His rip was really good, too. And he's a guy, if you, you know, have nothing to do this Friday night or nothing to do tomorrow, let's stay inside and get away from this hot sun. Duke Ejiofor has some really great, you know, video from Wake Forest. And he's a productive pass rusher there, even at a smaller size. And I know the Texans have tried, you know, Talamalu, they've tried Brent Scarlett, that third outside linebacker position. Neither of those guys have been very good, but I think with Duke Ejiofor, they have a good third outside linebacker, and he had a really great game last night.
When you look at this Texans team and just the division that they find themselves in, and certainly Andrew Luck looks like he might finally be back to what he once was, how do you see the Texans fitting in this division?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I love the AFC South. I've loved watching these terrible, like, 2-12, you know, I can't do math at all right now. We have 3-13 Titans matchups on Thursday Night Football, and I'm a hipster idiot, and so I'm going to go too deep in the AFC South this year. Now that everybody else loves them, they realize that the AFC South is, one, not only cool, but two, pretty good. But I think it's going to be Jacksonville number one, Houston number two if their pass rush stays healthy, and then I think it's kind of a disservice to Luck that the Colts can actually spend their free agency money this year and make their entire roster better. Because Luck's potentially a top-10 quarterback. I mean, you have a top-10 quarterback, you have to go for, and they didn't go for this last offseason. And the Titans, you know, I think they're such a weird team. They're such a mismatch of players and kind of schemes. I really don't know what to expect from them. They're the wild card. But I would say the Texans' pass rush is healthy this year. I think Jackson will probably get the 11-5. Houston does 10-6. Tennessee gets around like 7-9. And then the Colts around like 6-10, 7-9.
Taking a look at the Houston Texans, their performance last night in preseason game number one, and also the thoughts as training camp continues on. Matt Weston covers the Texans for SB Nation. Thanks for hopping on with us tonight.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you.
Absolutely. Matt Weston covers the Texans. Interesting to get his thoughts on last night's game, Deshaun Watson, and certainly, again, the rookie tight end, I think, honestly, maybe one of your bigger takeaways from last night's game, and Jordan Akins, two catches, both four touchdowns, and a position where it seems to be wide open, really, and an emerging threat they would love to have. You all of a sudden have a tight end to go with what you have on the outside with Fuller and Hopkins, and Deshaun, you know, with Deshaun Watson, what he can do with his feet as well. I mean, that could be potentially, and it's one game, I get it, but that could be something the Texans have not had to that offense, man.
Yeah, tight end adding into that lineup will add so much volume on the offensive side.
So we'll see what he can do next week in preseason game number two. Also, hopefully Deshaun Watson maybe plays a little bit more. We'll see if any of the veterans play. Hopkins, if he goes out there in second preseason game, maybe we've got to wait till the third preseason game. Something to keep an eye on as well. Up next, so PGA Championship round number two today. Who's in the lead? How's Tiger looking? And the NBA released its full schedule. A couple stand out. That's next. This is SB Nation Radio.